from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Dude, now I'm stuck scrolling through Prime Deals. I'm checked out of the show for the day because I'm doing Prime Deals. Apparently it's Prime Day. That's James right. Hamm. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. It's Prime Day and it's Wednesday. I had forgotten, honestly, that July was at 16th and 17th is Prime Day where Amazon's got all the deals and stuff. And then Delivery Joe in the Chatty House, if you want to hang out in the Chatty House, it's youtube.com/ESPN1320. Delivery Joe jumped in and he was like, hey, Prime Deal is going to be nuts today. And then I got to scrolling and, dude, I probably shouldn't be doing this because I don't like sponsor the show or anything, but I use the Amazon app like a social media account. Like I just scroll.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, huh, new walking shoes? I walk. I like to walk. Outdoor wall sconces. I've been needing those. And then next thing you know, I've got 19 items in my basket and I'm spending a bunch of money, but it's like it's all on deals. So like I can justify it to myself. That's
of
how
course.
I'm the sucker. Like people go, how does Amazon make this much money? Me, people like me, I'm the sucker. I'm putting Amazing. My phone down now.
Kyle, did you see here in the chat that Frank Perez came in fourth place in the Las Vegas poker tournament he's been playing in?
Oh,
and won $250,000.
Very good. Do you know how much stuff you can get on Amazon Prime?
Amazon Prime.
For $250,000. Frank, if you need like a lot of outdoor wall sconces, hit me up. I know where you can get a great deal. Maybe some earbuds,
Frank,
an outdoor bar.
Frank probably needs to buy Kyle some patio furniture with some of that hard-earned cash.
So here's dude, okay, I'm looking for outdoor patio furniture with specifically like two chairs with ottomans. And a table. Just someplace my wife and I can sit out back and have a drink or whatever. And we're having a really hard time finding like chair and ottoman combos, A, that are in our budget, and B, the ones that are in our budget are like metal or like chintzy, like not great. And then we found some chairs we really like, but then we can't find ones with ottomans with it. So we're just kind of on the hunt. And sure enough here, now that we've talked about it, I've got a couch with like a detached ottoman thing, or a day bed, I guess, an outdoor day bed with a detached ottoman thing. But it's, again, it's over budget, but that's fine. That's why you scroll Amazon, because who knows what you'll stumble across.
That's true. I could see you guys with a nice fire pit outside.
Yeah, that might be the move at some point. We put in a bunch of new cement. And we have space for a fire pit if we wanted to go that route. And maybe we will at some point. But right now, we're in the pergola and conversation set, I believe is what it's called. I've learned a lot of new words, by the way, since being a homeowner. Like that used to, everything just used to be patio furniture, but then you find out there's like outdoor dining sets, and then there's conversation sets, and then there's day beds. There's just a million different things. I thought I was going to Google patio furniture and find what I needed. Nope.
I thought pergola was going to be the word that you learned during this adventure, but no.
Well, it's all these other things. Well, sort of. This was, I didn't learn it during this specific adventure since I got my backyard done a few weeks ago. I did not learn pergola this time, but when we first started researching backyard stuff when we when we bought the house in October of 2019, when we first started researching backyard stuff, I was looking up like outdoor overhang and I was getting a lot of awnings, and then I learned that it's called a pergola. So I've known the word pergola for a while, but to your point, I learned that while researching backyard things. So yeah, not a word I knew before owning a home.
I should just come down with a bunch of saws and we can just build you a pergola.
Dude, that would be nice. If you want to build a pergola in my backyard, go for it. You know, we'll be out there. just let me know when you want to come down. But yeah, I also learned since becoming a homeowner that you can demolish a bathroom with a box cutter and a little force.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. It is insane. Yeah. Just took apart an entire bathroom with a box cutter and a pull up, push down, and your sink is gone. It's crazy.
Yeah, like the you can do like the full on renovation of a bathroom that would cost you like 30 grand to have someone do it. You can do that for maybe $2,500 on your own.
Yeah, you can save
so much.
You got
to learn how to set a toilet. You got to learn how to do some flooring and stuff like that.
Yeah. Salute to my dad, who is super helpful with that stuff. All right, let's we'll continue talking about random stuff because this is literally on the sports calendar. July 17th, or the day after the MLB All-Star Game, is the slowest day on the sports calendar. That's a fact. It helps a little bit that we have the Olympics and we got Team USA playing right now against Serbia, but outside of Summer League, there's just not a whole heck of a lot going on.
Yeah.
But we've got stuff for you. We got Kings coaching changes. We got the MLB All-Star Game last night. ESPN released their NBA power rankings. We've got a couple of guests coming up. We've got Dr. Nirav Pandya, a professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF. He's also the director of sports medicine at Benioff Children's Hospital. He's going to join us at 11 o'clock. We'll talk Devin Carter. We'll talk Malik Monk. We'll talk Kevin Herter, and just kind of figure out where those guys will be in their returns or recoveries from injury. And then Nick Wagner from ESPN, he covers the 49ers for ESPN. He's going to join us at 11:30 to talk about the Brandon Ayuk trade stuff. James, before we get to the Kings coaching stuff, you've been watching Team USA this morning. Mm-hmm. They're facing Serbia. And I know we've talked about this before, but I keep waiting for it to get better and it's not. I don't know how anyone likes watching Joel Embiid. I think he has the least aesthetically pleasing game in the NBA right now.
Kyle, for me, it's like watching someone who's unhealthy. It's like, again, I just don't get it. Like he doesn't look right. And like when he is right, he is just so dominant.
Right.
And he's so difficult to defend. I mean, he just, you know, he's a big body dude who just like, mm-hmm. lays on his opponent and you can't do anything. Once he's got his body on you, you can't do anything. I think the matchup today with Serbia is you know, incredible, and they're going to play in the group stage together, you know, going up against Jokic. But overall, like, it's really a tough watch for me. Like, I feel bad for him, watching him try to labor up and down the court, watching him trying to do all of the things that he thinks he can still do. Mm-hmm. And he's just not healthy enough to do it. And I don't get why he's out there, you know, for the most, you know, right now, why he's out there playing mm-hmm. for Team USA. It's tough.
Yeah. And I don't want this to come across like I think Joel Embiid is bad. Like, he could win the MVP next year. He's awesome. He's one of the best.
He's phenomenal. In the league. Yeah.
He's just hard to watch, man. The foul grifting, and like you said, the leaning on his opponent and then just throwing a shot at the rim and, doesn't move. Like, even you watch Steph Curry or you watch De'Aaron Fox, and there's like a certain electricity to their game, right? Where you just, it's fun to watch. Even Domantas Sabonis, like, let's go position to position here. Even Domantas Sabonis, like, he's not a high flying athlete, but some of the finesse he shows with his passing, the way he just the effort and the energy that he plays with underneath the basket, even if it's tipping a rebound to himself, like it's like, man, that is that a heck of a play there. Then Embiid is just like, ugh. It's like a slog. It's like a chore to watch him do stuff, and I'm over it. I hope he stays healthy, and I hope he's healthy, but I hope he doesn't play a ton of minutes for Team USA once the tournament actually starts.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Conversely, I love Jason Tatum now. I'm all in on Jason Tatum. I understand. I get it.
Mm.
He's just he's awesome. In the context of rooting for Jason Tatum, Jason Tatum's awesome. He's a really good defender, yeah. Really good shot creator. He's pulling down rebounds left and right. Just phenomenal player. Huge fan.
Yeah, I even think that like Jason Tatum, part of the reason why he's not averaging 30-something a game is because of the team he plays on and just the talent level of the guys around him. I think he is like the potential for him to be a superstar quality player and not just like a super high-end star player is totally there. Like, I just don't know that he's considered a full-fledged superstar in today's game. Him and Jaylen Brown are both like really, really close, but they're not quite there. Yeah. And they're not quite there because there's two of them. And then like three other dudes are going to be in the Hall of Fame on their roster.
Yeah. I think if Tatum was on a worse team, we'd look at him and go good stats, bad team guy.
Mm.
He's in the perfect situation to maximize what he is as a player. And I think largely because of some of his performances in the finals, I've just kind of soured on him a little bit, but I'm back in. I'm back in after watching him play for Team USA.
He's fun.
He's awesome. Frank, real quick, Frank Perez in the chat, and we'll get to King's coaching stuff in a bit. Get help, dog. Going to a sportsbook and betting summer league is crazy. If you're on an app, if you're sitting at home and you're on an app, maybe you do offshore, maybe you've got something that's legal in the state of California, and you're on an app and you want to say like, yeah, hey, I'm sitting here, I'm going to throw, you know, $5 on the Kings -3.5 tonight or whatever. Sure, fine. But if you're in Vegas and you're going to the sports,
especially with 250 large in your pocket,
come on, dog.
That's a dangerous game, man. Yeah. Hopefully I learned something years ago. An old grinder told me, he said, get up and walk away and go cash out your chips. I'm like, why? I'm having a good time. He's like, because it's chips right now. Go cash out your chips. Start back over. Pull $100 or pull $40 out of your pocket. Start over again.
Yeah.
And maybe you can build it up again, but leave those chips in your pocket and you're just going to keep pulling them out and saying, oh, one more time. I still have chips. Yeah. Once it's cash, it's yours. Once it's chips, it's there still. And that's how 1,000%. Your brain thinks. And so Frank, get out of the casino. Out of the casino now.
Dude, it's like losing weight where it's so much easier, except the opposite. When you're losing weight, it is way easier to gain it than lose it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Vegas, it's way easier to lose it than gain it.
Yeah.
Like 1,000%. We went one time. I play a lot of craps. And because you can, if you do it right, you can put $100 on a craps table and stand there for a couple hours.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And so I got, it's like $40. It was not a lot of money, but I told my friend, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be here, but I'm going to stand at this craps table for a while. Like six rolls. I was out of there. Oh, it was brutal. Oh. It was so bad. And it's like only in Vegas, Reno. This never happens in Reno. Doesn't happen in Tahoe. Vegas though. That's how it goes, man. All right. We'll talk some Vegas Summer League. We've got MLB All-Star Game to talk about. But first, we're going to get to some Kings coaching changes. We've got Lindsay Harding. She is exiting the Kings coaching staff. Where is she going? What's this mean for the coaching staff? We'll talk about it next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And we're hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube
on ESPN
1320.
Hey, voice guy, what show is this?
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. Jiffy Lube, they sponsor the program, as voice guy just said. I get to do something on Friday that I've never gotten to do before and I may never get to do again, and I'm really, really excited. It is a bucket list item for me, and you can come watch me do that. I'm throwing out the first pitch at the Rivercats game on Friday. First pitch is set for 6:45. That's the first pitch of the game. My ceremonial first pitch will be sometime before that. Get your tickets at rivercats.com. There's more information at espn1320.com. get in the building, get there early, get your tickets, pull up. Manny in the chatty house has offered to binge drink with me beforehand. And here's no, first of all. And I know that's no fun for you guys, the people viewing this thing, but I want this to go so well. I care about this an alarming amount. I care so, so much about doing well at this one pitch. And if I got hammered beforehand, which, like, I'm not above as a person, I don't want it to come across like that. If this was a ceremonial first bowling, I'd be like, yeah, I'll go have a couple beers and then bowl, whatever. But this is like a first pitch. I play, like, baseball is my favorite sport in the world. And getting an opportunity, and not even at like a college or at single A, this is a triple A ball club. Yeah. The Wildcats are, this is a legit thing. And I get
Kyle, you do well. They may let the A's next year may ask you to do this again, Kyle.
Right. I'm assuming. Right. So trade deadline coming up. We've got scouts in the building who are looking at other teams' prospects. Who knows That's who's right. going to see me, you know? No, but I don't want, like, I really want this to go well because this is something I've wanted to do literally since whenever the first baseball game I went to. I was probably 9 or 10. And so ever since then, I've been like, I want to do that so bad. And so I want this to go well. And is that stupid and irrational because I'm a 33-year-old man? 100%. I'm on board. But that's why I won't be binge drinking beforehand. But afterwards, I do plan on having a beer or two. So get out there. We can drink a beer together. Your tickets, rivercats.com. Again, that's Friday. This Friday, July 19th, I'm throwing out the first pitch. And then hanging out at Sutter Health Park, hopefully with you. If you are in the building, hit me up either in the chatty house or hit me on Twitter at Kyle A. Madson, M-A-D-S-O-N. And let's grab a beer. Let's have some fun at a Rivercats game. It's going to be great. Can't wait. I'm going to be out there. If and when you get to do this, I'm going to be there. I will put plans on hold to be there.
All right. I'm going to drop down and throw a Dennis Eckersley pitch.
So sick. Just full Chad Bradford.
Yeah.
Scrape your knuckles on the round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we got some coaching changes for the Kings. It was reported yesterday. Woj from ESPN reported that Lindsey Harding is leaving the Stockton Kings to join J.J. Redick's bench with the Los Angeles Lakers. This to me is and James, we can run through some of the other changes that are coming to the coaching staff. But I think this to me, the fact that you have Lindsey Harding leaving, you have Jordy Fernandez leaving. You have a couple of other coaches leaving the Kings bench to join Jordy Fernandez's staff. I know it's tough, and it just adds to the list of things Mike Brown needs to do over the offseason is fill out those spots on the bench. Mm-hmm. But this is such a, ultimately in the big picture, this is such a good thing for the Kings and a good reflection on Mike Brown that A, he's hiring good people, and B, that as a coach, or as coaches, they are having success in their given roles. This is a really, really good thing for the Kings, even if it is tough to see good coaches like Lindsey Harding and Jordy Fernandez leave the building.
Yeah, so this is a little bit of a difficult one. I mean, she was Lindsey went down to the G League last year, won the G League Coach of the Year. You know, she's been on the staff for quite a while now in Sacramento, and she's a good lady. And so this is an opportunity for her to jump to a front of the bench role, it looks like, in LA, on JJ Redick's staff. I'm not 100% sure that's the case, but that's what it sounded like yesterday on social media, that she was going to get a front of the bench role. And that's just really tough to come by. Like when the Kings have lost like four coaches now, right? So Lindsey, mm-hmm. they lost Dutch Gately, which is a huge loss. He's their player development leader. He went with Jordy to Brooklyn. They lost Davita Stolkes, and he went to Brooklyn as well with Jordy. So you're down four coaches, but the Kings have brought in a couple other guys, and you know they already had basically a system in place where Luke Laux was going to step to the front of the bench when Jordy left. And so that wasn't available for Lindsey here in Sacramento. They also, Mike added Ricardo Foyce, earlier in the offseason. They still have Jimmy Lapag. They've got Jawad Williams, which people around the team really, really like Jawad Williams and sort of where he's going. They still have, you know, Doug Christie and Jay Triano. They still have Leandro Barbosa. Like, this coaching staff is still pretty full, but it kind of speaks to where the league is at and how many coaches you actually have, where you can lose four coaches, mm-hmm. and I can name six other coaches that are still there,
yeah.
and then a couple of guys that are coming in. So I think 2 years in, this is going into year three, it's good to mix up the coaching staff. It's good to get fresh blood in there. It's good to have different ideas walk in the door. Maybe something different. I would just say, like, the Dutch Gately one, like, out of all of the losses, again, Jordy Fernandez, excellent coach. He's gone on to be a head coach now.
Mm-hmm.
But Dutch is the one who really has been in charge of, I don't know, the program of developing young players.
Sure.
And it's why we're seeing guys like Keon Ellis take massive steps in their productivity.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be Dutch just like working one-on-one with Keon Ellis, but he's the one who's putting the program together. And mm-hmm. so I think that was a great move by Brooklyn, especially with all of their young talent. You need somebody like him that can help bring along these young guys. So that's like priority number one, try to fill that. And then, you know, they'll find a few other assistants floating around there that make sense for them.
Do you think there's any chance that this year we actually, at any point, are we going to, do you think, get on the radio and go, man, they miss Jordy Fernandez?
Maybe. I mean, like, there is that possibility. I mean, he's your defensive-minded coach. He's also a guy who's, while he's on the sidelines, is very much with Mike Brown,
yeah.
in Mike Brown's ear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there could come a point where you do miss him, but to be honest, that's kind of the game, right? Like,
sure.
This isn't Mike's first rodeo. He's been an NBA head coach, I think, 10 or 11 seasons now. And this is part of it. You want mm-hmm. your coaches to get better jobs. And even yeah. for a guy like Davidis Dulkis, he goes from being like the number six or number seven coach on the King staff to like a number five coach in Brooklyn. And that comes with more responsibility. It comes with right. more money, like all of these things when you take that jump. And so you want guys to really, like, you need to leave. A lot of times you need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get the full, like, coaching experience. And it's the same thing with Doug Christie. Like, Doug coaching the summer league roster, like, that's a good thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing him, like, how it is to be a head coach and all the chaos that comes with being a head coach and trying to schedule this or schedule that or make sure your guys are doing this. Like, there is a different level that you get from something like that where you, mm-hmm. you start to take in more of the experience. And all of these are steps that this group needs to take, and they're getting better. And what that does is it sets you up down the road to maybe be a head coach somewhere else, or maybe be a head coach in Sacramento down the road if something were to happen where they need to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hopefully we're talking way down the road, and Mike keeps building his coaching tree like he has, like, really, really well here in his stint in Sacramento.
Yeah, that's the big thing here is this isn't a situation where Mike Brown and like you just said, 10 or 11 years as a head coach, a bunch more as an assistant. This isn't something where Mike Brown can't I trust him to overcome the loss of whatever coach.
Mm-hmm.
A just by himself, I think he's a good basketball coach, but B to find the right people to replace those losses. So this is you know, it's tough because these are people we've heard about and talked about it, but seeing them leave isn't awesome. But like you said, they're upgrades, they're promotions. It means the Kings are doing the right stuff. It means Mike Brown's doing the right stuff. And I think as long as the Kings are good, we're going to keep seeing this. So cross your fingers mm-hmm. that the Kings keep losing coaches, because that means they keep doing good stuff.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. So it's part of the process, man. It's part of growing a program and having a really, really strong leader at the top who's developing his talent and also wants his talent to succeed outside of Sacramento. I've covered a lot of coaches in Sacramento. Mike is my ninth head coach. I don't want to tell you how many assistant coaches, like the amount of assistant coaches I've covered in Sacramento. Some guys I've covered like two or three times. Like, I think Brian Gates was here three different times. But some of these coaches, like, you know, they don't want that's not what they're not looking to make new head coaches. And other head coaches are like, yeah, this is the job, is to create your coaching mm-hmm. tree. And other guys are like, no, my job is to make sure that my coaching staff is the best possible. And so you get some guys that are sort of like, you know, the George Carl, like fan club that he has as his coaching staff, and they're good coaches, but they want to work for George. They don't want to work for other people. And that's not, I don't think it's productive. And I also don't think that it helps the league as a whole.
Yeah. And I don't think it's super conducive to growth and to winning. Frankly. Yeah. So, all right. That's what's going on the Kings coaching staff. We had the MLB All-Star game last night. A couple of notes from that, and then we'll get into the ESPN NBA power rankings. The Kings, a little bit lower than you might think. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We might see a game in this Olympic tournament, or once the Olympics start. Team USA basketball showcase still going on. They're facing Serbia as they tune up for the Olympics. That is Team USA, the men's team. They might just put together some like sick defensive lineups and give up like 40 points in one of these games.
Oh yeah. Especially against some of the lower talent level. They might give up less than that, man.
Yeah.
They are so good defensively.
I mean, the Adebayo Davis front court is just nasty by itself. Like, we always talk about that with the Kings, right? We always talk about how, hey, if you have better perimeter defense, if you had a shot blocker at the rim, it changes all these things they can do defensively. And now you have two guys that can defend on the perimeter, that can defend at the rim. And then they have excellent perimeter defenders like Derek White, like Jrue Holiday, like Jason Tatum, where Like, dude, if they wanted to, they could really just wreck someone's day.
Just think if they put those five guys on the court together, Jrue Holiday, Derek White, Jason Tatum, Bam Adebayo, and Anthony Davis, and just unleash the fury defensively on a team. Yeah. Especially a team that isn't very well organized and isn't, you know, maybe not a great team.
Yeah. 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 I would, that'd be so fun. I hope they do that at some point.
Yeah, that'd be like varsity taking on like seventh grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's I don't think that the basketball, the international game is too big now, and there's too many good players around the world for anything to ever look like 92 again. But I think there's a chance if this version of Team USA comes together that they kind of roll in this Olympics. I mean, Serbia's good and they're dominating this game right now. And I don't even know if they're playing their best yet.
I think Serbia is a second best team in the tournament, and I'm kind of bummed out they're playing in the same group.
Mm.
I mean, Serbia with, you know, Jokic and Bogdanovic, and like, that's a good team.
Yeah.
Even Filip Petrušev was like bombing earlier.
King's
legend, Filip Petrušev.
I was shocked when I was on your Kings Beat happy hour a few weeks back, and we were talking about, I think Sabonis and Len playing together came up. Is that right?
I think somebody asked.
I think it was that pair. Yeah, somebody asked if there's a chance we see the Kings do that. Len at the five, Sabonis at the four. And you and Brendan Nunes, who's on the Kings Beat podcast with you, and I think Sean Cunningham was there at this point as well, were all kind of said like, yeah, that they did that a little bit last year, but that's just not a thing that they're going to do. So I wanted to go look it up and see how many minutes they played together. And Filip Petrušev played with like five players more than Sabonis and Len played together.
Which it was like one game. They tried it one game for like 4 minutes, and that was it. You're like, hey, look, there it is. There's the two big men. Look, and like, that's interesting. Yeah. And then no more.
I think it would work if Sabonis shot threes like Valanciunas,
mm-hmm.
where he does it enough, but not, it's not like a key part of his game. Then I think maybe you could mess around with that a little more. But I don't think Sabonis wants to play that way, and I don't think the Kings want him to play that way, and I just don't think that would ever work.
Yeah, I've always found it interesting. Like, every coach is different how they handle these things. Like, I remember, like, Paul Westphal, like, people were complaining about, you know, hey, can Jason Thompson play the three? And he's like, okay, fine. So he put Jason Thompson out there at the three with I don't even remember who it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a complete disaster. He's like, see, that's why we don't do that. And I think with Mike is reluctant. Like, a couple of years ago, we heard, the Rashawn Holmes saying he's going to play alongside Sabonis. And there's possibility that they'll even start together. Like, we heard that during the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Not one time did they play together in training camp. Not one time. Like, they never, ever played together. Huh. They played against each other every single game. And they never once played together in a game on the court at the same time. And you're like, okay, well, that's not going to work out. So Rashawn Holmes is a 13 to 14 minute per game guy because he's not going to play with Sabonis. And then he wasn't the 13 to 14 minute guy. So they had to find someone else. And that's how you started cycling through and finding other guys that could play. And that's, you know, again, the game changes so quickly and you have to be able to adapt. And so I would like to see what Mike does there with that center position, but I just don't think he's going to come back to that.
I think the Kings aren't done adding to their roster. What level of player it is, the more the days go by, the more I think it's not going to be, certainly not a top tier player. And the more the days go by, I think it's less a mid tier player and maybe more a lower tier one. But whoever it is, my prediction is the immediate reaction is going to be like, oh, can he and Sabonis play together? And that's kind of I think that's the type of player they're going to get.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, we've heard, like, the one name that I heard, I don't even know where I heard it, the Davis Bertans, right? Like, okay, what if they added Davis Bertans? That would be a guy who can play alongside Sabonis.
Can he?
It's just whether he can play at all is the question. And you're right, Kyle. He can't, because defensively he can't help.
The Kevin Herter of Trey Lyles's?
Yeah, he's like the rich man's Kevin Knox.
Kevin Knox, playing in summer league is just a tough look for a former lottery pick. If you had asked me to bet on Kevin Knox's age, like you just listed every number 20 through 40,
yep.
Said, hey, place a bet on what age he is, I would have just knee-jerk reaction been like, oh, he's like 28, 27, 28. He's like 24 years old. How is he still 24?
You know what's funny, Kyle? I watched him play and I'm like, I think he doubled in weight and he's still skinny.
Yeah, man.
He's literally twice as big as he was coming into the league and he's still too skinny. Gosh. You're like, wow, man, that's... Yeah,
can't grow into his body. It's tough.
No. Mm. He needs the all-inclusive in Mexico. That's what he needs. Just keep eating, bro. Just keep eating.
What we want you to do for your off-season program, Kev. We got you an all-expenses, all-inclusive trip to Cabo. We want you to take full advantage.
We need you to run on the beach, but we need you to eat and drink as much as possible every single day. We want you to have nachos by the pool, followed by a pizza by the pool, another pizza by the pool, maybe some ceviche by the pool.
Don't swim too much, though, to burn calories.
No, we do not want you burning calories at all.
You want me in the weight room? If you want.
What's a weight room? I don't know.
All right. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Before we get to the ESPN NBA power rankings, which I think are pretty interesting, I want to talk about the All-Star game last night, Major League Baseball, American League 5, National League 3, Shohei Ohtani homered, which is what I think a lot of people in the building wanted. When Ohtani walked, so Ohtani in his first appearance, or his first plate appearance, came up against Corbin Burns, the starting pitcher for the AL, and walks. And there was this like audible groan in the crowd. This is a 3-2 pitch. Just pitch just missed inside. He takes a walk. There was like a groan. And then he came up against Tanner Houck from the Red Sox and got ahead in the count 2-0. And then Houck hung a splitter low and in, and Ohtani just pulverized it to right center and put the NL on top 3-0. The American League comes back. They score 5 unanswered. Jarren Duren is the MVP of the game, the Red Sox center fielder. He had a game-winning 2-run homer. The highlight of the night for me, there were two, though. It was when Paul Skenes got to face Aaron Judge. So Paul Skenes, National League starter, he's a rookie, pitched at LSU last year and is now starting the All-Star game, which is just nutty. And Aaron Judge came up. And Skenes had, I don't want to say pitched around Juan Soto, especially since I think he would have struck him out had his 3-2 fastball not crossed up the catcher and gone to the backstop. But he gets to Aaron Judge, and I was a little bit worried that Skenes was going to go like change up, slider, you know, just really try and mess around. No, he, all credit to the 22-year-old, he reared back and went 100 miles an hour, middle, just said, here's my best pitch, and Judge bounced it to third base. It was a super impressive performance by Paul Skenes. I was blown away. Loved it.
Yeah, he's electric, and not only that, but I'm like super unassuming, and you're like, okay, what is it? What is happening here? Like, this guy literally should be like a heating and air replacement, like a repairman. That's what he looks like. Totally. You're like, okay, man, I need you to change the filter in that duct up there. Is that okay? Can you do that for me?
Yeah.
And he's out there throwing like 100 and something mile an hour gas.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. So my highlight is, hey, like, A's represent. Mason Miller goes out there, strikes out two.
The last Oakland Athletic All-Star ever. Congratulations to Mason Miller.
Gets the win? He got the win.
Yeah, man.
MVP. MVP.
Dude, he's...
He didn't win the MVP.
So last night on the All-Star game broadcast, they were talking about how Mason Miller isn't ruling out a return to starting pitching. I'm not his agent. I'm not his friend. I don't know the guy. He doesn't know that I exist. But I'm going to offer some advice. Don't do that. No, don't. Like, don't. His stuff is nasty because he can throw one inning, maybe two, and he can just rear back and throw it 105 every time.
Yeah.
And then he's got good off-speed stuff to mix in, and we saw that last night. He's awesome. He's electric. You can make a ton of money as a closer who's saving 40-plus games a year. Don't try and stretch your arm back out. Don't limit yourself to throwing 65-75% because you're trying not to blow out your UCL as a starter. Nope. Stick around as a closer, dog. You can do that for a really long time and make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah, he's got so many pitches too. That's the crazy thing. He's got the straight gas, but then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, what was that?
Change
like,
up, did slider.
Yeah, did you just like literally throw like a 92-mile-an-hour changeup?
So
like, what is happening? So yeah, he's got some nasty stuff. And so I get it. I get it that like there is a point where he easily could go back and be a starter, but why? Like, you are going to make, like, if he's an elite closer like he is, you're probably going to make $20 million a year at some point in your career, and you're going to get a lot of money. You might not get the big, big payday of a starting pitcher, but you also might not be good enough as a starter to get that big payday. So, yeah. I like his lane.
Yeah. Yep. Me too. Norm in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 says, as a former HVAC guy, I take offense, James. I'm way better looking than Paul Skeens. Your thoughts?
It's not the whether he's good looking or not. It's that he looks like a guy who would knock on your door and say, "Hey, I'm here to check out your AC unit."
Dude, I have a lot of people in my neighborhood who come around. I if you didn't know, I live out in the Bay Area, the far East Bay. Some say it's not even the Bay Area, so whatever. But I live in the 925, and. Paul Skeens looks like every person who walks around and knocks on our door or rings our doorbell and goes, yeah, I want to talk about your PG&E bill and how we can save you some money on that. They're wearing a polo shirt. They're wearing khakis. The polo shirt, no identifying factors. They're not wearing a name tag. They have nothing. But, hey, they want me to spend money with their company to save money on my PG&E bill, which is like, oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I could. Paul Skeens, he might even have a really, really good career as like the guy who sprays for bugs outside your house.
Ooh, like, yeah.
You know, because they do now, like, well, where I'm at, like, the guy comes out and he has like the feather duster thing, like the, yeah. You know, the, and he'll get like, he'll sweep the eaves for cobwebs and everything else. Like, I could see Paul Skeens doing that.
Yeah, especially at 6'6". He could just use a normal size broom. He wouldn't even need the long extension handle. His story's fascinating. He went to Air Force because his lifelong dream was to be a fighter pilot.
Nope, too tall.
He wanted to be Maverick from Top Gun. Like, that was his. So he goes. Go ahead.
He looks just like Goose. Who he is.
Yes, he looks like Goose. He looks like a cross between Anthony Edwards and Miles Teller.
Yep.
Playing Goose and Goose's son. Like, he looks like that. So
there it is.
So that's what he wanted to do. So he went to Air Force and was really good for them and just kind of realized the more he pitched and the better he got that was his route he should be going in life. So he punted on his lifelong dream of being a fighter pilot in the Air Force to transfer to LSU, where he pitched for 1 year, was dominant, became the number one overall pick, and before he had a full year in the minors, got called up to start in the majors, made 11 starts, and started the All-Star game.
It's crazy.
Like, two years ago, he was like, yeah, I'm a fighter pilot. And now he's like, I'm the best pitcher in baseball. Insane.
Yeah, but like, totally I'm just insane. Wondering... Like, he can't fit into a fighter pilot.
I'm guessing there's technology now that allows him to get in some kind of plane.
Maybe. Well, I mean, he can fly some plane, but not like there. You would be limited by your height there.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Maybe. Yeah, I also don't know enough about military weapons technology to have a.
Either way, it's a great story. Yeah, it's a great story because he's like a. Full on, you know, like just, hey, I think I'm going to try this. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're really good at that. And then you're in the All-Star game.
Yeah. So nuts.
That's what Kyle's waiting for on Friday.
Oh, bro. The first pitch. I'm just going to rare back. Fire one.
Henry Rowan Darden that thing down the pipe.
Like, I'm sitting at 99, touching 102 now.
Sign him up.
Sign me up. Out of shape 5'9 guys, hucking cheese.
Yeah, that's right.
I was watching the game last night at the All-Star game, and I'm going, you know, I love the MLB All-Star game. Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
And it's the best.
And I was wondering why, because I initially thought, well, I like the MLB All-Star game the most because baseball is my favorite sport. But then it hit me in the last inning when Emmanuel Clase, the closer for the Guardians, is facing Ellie De La Cruz, who's my favorite player in baseball. He's a shortstop for the Reds. And he's facing Ellie. And it dawned on me that the reason the MLB All-Star game is so much fun is because baseball is inherently a one-on-one sport where you're just getting Paul Skeens versus Aaron Judge. This is the best hitter in the American League against the best pitcher in the National League, and they are going mano a mano. It's the only way we really get that. And you get that sometimes in the NBA All-Star game. You know, there's that famous Kobe LeBron moment where they got isolated on the wing and it's Kobe dribbling on LeBron. But it's not one, it's guys running around and not playing any defense, and the game's just kind of boring. And same thing with the NFL. Whereas baseball just forces the idea of the All-Star game is like best on best. And the way baseball is played, just the sport in general, forces us into that pod of best pitcher, best hitter, go. And with the way the game is played, it's just one pitcher gets one inning, so everybody's rearing back and throwing as hard as they can. Nobody's worrying about stretching out their outing over 5, 6, 7, 8 innings. So It's just gas. It's everybody's best. And as a hitter, you can't half-ass an at bat. Like, you're trying to get a hit. I think that's kind of just what it is. I think baseball just lends itself to being the drama, or having the drama that an All-Star game should have, in ways that the NBA and the NFL just really, really can't. And I think that's why I like it so much.
Yeah, I think that the other All-Star games have lost their way, and there's really no way to fix them. Like the NBA All-Star game, I also think, like, some of the things that they're doing, like we were going to talk about the Home Run Derby a bunch the other day, and then we got sidetracked. But like the Home Run Derby, the Slam Dunk Contest, the 3-point shootout, all of these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think what I came to the realization is that those things aren't for me. Like, that's not why Major League Baseball or the NBA are doing those things.
Yeah.
They're doing it so kids will want to play their sport. Mm-hmm. And we'll look at those things and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe what I just saw.
Yeah.
And they'll want to buy jerseys, and they'll want their parents to buy them jerseys. And I probably shouldn't be as harsh on the dunk contest or the Home Run Derby as I am sometimes, because it's like, look, I'm not their demographic. I'm not who they're targeting here. They really are trying to involve young people, and I should probably support that. But the MLB All-Star game, as far as the game, when they felt like it was slipping away, they instantly nipped it in the bud and said, no. Like, now we're going to put something on the line here. If you don't want to show up, then we're going to ding you. If you don't play the game honestly, then, you know, whoever wins is going to have a home field advantage in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever it is, like, that's what they changed it very quickly, where it's like, oh, this thing does mean something. And you can get, you see it. It is a mano-a-mano thing. There's no one who's going to walk up there as a pitcher and throw an 85-mile-an-hour fastball down the pipe just to let somebody hit a home run.
Unless it's Derek Jeter's last All-Star game. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, all right.
Which I'm fine with. But that's a scenario where, like, you know what? If it's Derek Jeter's last All-Star game, and the pitcher for the National League wants to groove 92 down the middle so he can have a moment, fine. That's one at bat. But in the NBA, that's the whole game.
It's trash. Right. yeah, the NFL, the guys are just like, hey, I'm not going. They're like, oh, okay. Well, like, hey, you're a Pro Bowler. It's like, oh, sweet, I'm one of 250 people who made the Pro Bowl this year.
It's so silly. And the flag football is cool, but it's just not. It's just not quite the same. It's just a little different. I have an idea for the NBA that I want to run by you real quick, and then I want to get to the ESPN Power Rankings. What if the NBA All-Star game just turned into King of the Court? Where it's just one-on-one. It's just set it up. It's Kevin Durant gets up with the ball with Jason Tatum guarding him. One-on-one. All right, KD gets a bucket. He stays on. Jason Tatum goes to the back of the line.
What if we did 3-on-3 King of the Court?
That's even better.
Three on three King of the Court, and just like, and it's random. It's random. It's Ooh. Whoever you're playing with, you play with. So if it works out that like one team is literally Jokic, Embiid, and Sabonis, mm-hmm. like, okay, somebody's getting cooked. Like right. whether you're getting cooked from the perimeter or they're going to go in the post on you, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, Kyle, we should pitch this to the NBA. Like three on three. Let's do this.
Yeah. Maybe you draw names out of a hat or you could pick teams beforehand.
Yeah.
There could be like a selection committee where each team gets like a guard, a wing, and a big, or I guess you'd have to have teams of more than three. So however that works, teams of five where you have a couple of subs, and maybe you go tournament style. You have
and half court.
Yeah. Half court tournament style. I would love that. I'd be so in on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we fixed the All-Star game.
I think we just did.
It just happened.
Adam Silver, give us a call. We have some ideas. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we've got, speaking of give us a call, we're going to talk to Dr. Nirav Pandya, the professor of UCSF orthopedic surgery. He's also the director of sports medicine at Benioff Children's Hospital. We'll talk to him about some of the Kings' offseason injury questions. I also want to ask about Kawhi. The Kawhi thing is weird. I want to ask him about that at 11:30. It's about half an hour from now. We'll have Nick Wagner from ESPN to talk about the Brandon Ayuk trade stuff. Real quick, and we'll continue this discussion after the break as well, but ESPN's NBA power rankings came out. The Kings are 15th overall, right in the middle of the league, and 8th overall in the West, right about where they were last year. And once again, Kendra Andrews, who did the write-up, Kendra Andrews in Northern California, she covers the Warriors.
I like Kendra. She's cool.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she does. She's out here doing some stuff with the Kings as well. She again brought up the defense factor with DeMar DeRozan and also said that he's going to help their offense. Like, she was pro DeRozan signing, but just mm-hmm. mentioned because the premise of the piece was like biggest questions. And she said the biggest question was, how does DeMar DeRozan impact the Kings defense? Am I missing something? Am I looking at this with purple glasses on and overlooking some negative defensive impact that DeMar DeRozan is going to have?
No, I don't think so, because I don't think DeMar DeRozan, like the stats say that DeMar DeRozan's a better defender than Harrison Barnes at this point in their careers.
Sure.
And so, like, look, I don't think they take a step back. Like, DeMar DeRozan defended the three-point line so much better than Harrison Barnes last year. It's crazy. Now, that's part of the scheme, so we'll have to look and see how he fits into the scheme and stuff. But, like, look, if a dude can average 24 points a game at age 34, he's still a super athlete, like athlete.
Yeah, he's doing
so
fine.
He can still play defensively. And, you know, again, when you put him alongside bad defenders, maybe he's a bad defender. When you put him alongside good defenders or great defenders, which, you know, again, Alex Caruso is a great defender. Patrick Williams, a very, very good defender for the Bulls. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not as good as them. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't change the fact that, like, he's going to be perfectly fine as a league average defender for this team. And do they need more size and athleticism? Yeah, we just keep beating that drum. But, you know, I don't know. The only question I really had, Kyle, like, I don't know why Memphis has bolted up the board. And, you know, the Pels and the Kings should be, like, really close to each other. I get that.
And I think they are. Aren't the Pelicans one ahead of the Kings?
Yeah, something one or two ahead of the Kings. They're right there with the Kings. But the Grizzlies, I'm confused by that because the Grizzlies were a number two seed 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Last season, they were atrocious because of the Ja Morant situation. But I'm not sure that I see how they got better. And losing, you know, Steven Adams is a huge loss for them. And, we'll have to wait and see.
So they're fine.
We'll have to wait and see what Zach Edey looks like, they lost Luke Kennard. I just don't really think that, like, maybe G.G. Jackson will be great, but we can't let summer league skew our idea of what he is or
G.G.
playing on a
horrible team.
G.G. was
good in the league last year, though.
Well, he was good in the league, but on a horrendous team. He got opportunities that he wasn't going to get anywhere else, and so I kind of want to see what he looks like when the games matter and when teams are actually focused on what's happening there.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just turned 19?
Yeah, 19 or 20. Yeah. He's super young.
I think he turns 20 during the season next year, which is just crazy.
That's wild.
But yeah. Maybe we're underrating Ja Morant's impact. But
maybe.
I think the Grizzlies will be good and they'll be a factor, but I don't know that they're going to leapfrog Sacramento or New Orleans or even Phoenix. But we'll keep talking about that. We got Dr. Nirav Pandya coming up from UCSF Orthopedic Surgery. He's a professor of orthopedic surgery at UCSF and the director of sports medicine at Benioff Children's Hospital. What's going on with some of the Kings' injuries? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320. This is The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube at Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.